This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We're Grant and Danny. You are locked into the Fan. We are live in Leesburg at the Green Tree Tavern. We'll be here until 6:30 today.
As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. This is the exclusive sponsor of our show. The law firm of Condori and Morad can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
We'll be covering the Commanders and the Blitz, the Wizards as well. Had LeBron in town last night. By the way, tough times for Wizards fans. Got blown out last night by the Lakers,
yep.
And Bronny was being chanted at Capital One Arena.
Yeah, on your feet for Bronny. It wasn't much about that I enjoyed, I'll be honest with you.
That is tough. He had his best game ever, I think, like 2 points and two assists.
Dude, he had 5 points last night.
Wow. Three free throws?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Let's get to your Beltway Blitz.
The Washington Capitals.
We start on the ice. Sammy Silber, the hockey news. Sammy, last night was kind of the embodiment of this Caps team. They did not play their best game. They steal a point. End of a two-week roadie where they played five games away from home, and they emptied the tank and somehow came back two goals late. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, no. I mean, that was one of the crazier games I've ever seen. I mean, all it says about this team is that, you know, you can't get them out. You know, they have so much depth and they have so much ability and talent down the roster that, you know, it can be anybody any night. It can be Ovi. It can be, you know, Stromer. It can be Dowd. You know, everybody's just getting the job done. Even when it seems like you're down and out, somebody will step up and kind of make sure that, hey, at least we don't leave empty-handed. So reminds me a lot of that 2009-2010 team that could find, you know, any way to win, even if they were down, you know, two goals, three goals, whatever. So it's impressive, but that was a wild one where they probably didn't deserve to walk away with any points, but did.
Sammy, what in the hairy hell was going on with the power play last night? I mean, I've been frustrated at times before. It's like, oh, they couldn't get any shots and look disorganized. I would take no shots and disorganized over great scoring chances for the opponent.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, you kind of saw it, you know, before that breakdown happened, right? There were, you know, problems on the entries. You know, it seemed like, you know, they were trying to get to one guy and, you know, he just couldn't get through. And there were too many turnovers. Passes just weren't clean. And, you know, when you don't have a clean entry and you don't really have, you know, your plan's working out, you don't have time to set up and execute anything. It just keeps getting cleared out of your zone. So you also kind of saw, you know, maybe the chemistry wasn't clicking with the same personnel, which is why it kind of changed as the game went on. So things to work up. But, you know, like Dylan Strom said last night, you know, easy things to clean up, you know, just with entries and passing and civil execution. So, I mean, that's a positive.
Alex Ovechkin needs 19 goals to become the NHL's all-time goal-scoring leader. He's scoring at a .66 goals-per-game pace. He needs to be at a .54 pace from now on to get the record. Do you think with 31 games to go and 19 goals needed, he does it this season?
I mean, I think I said to you guys before, I never bet against the big man. He can find so many ways to score. He's just such a generational talent, and to see him still doing it after 20 years, and he's able to, you know, get to the front of the net or shoot one from long range or, you know, from the office, you know, whatever it may be, he finds ways to get it done. So I'm not betting against O. I think he does it this season. I think he wants it. There's nobody who's as hungry to score as him, and you can see it in the numbers.
I think we're there because of the Ovechkin chase and some other guys that have had such headline seasons. Connor McMichael reminded me of how skilled he is last night. I mean, obviously the goal was absurd, but there was a play, Sam, I don't know if you even remember this. It just reminds me, like, oh my God, these guys are so ridiculous. A puck in midair that's, you know, probably chest high in the middle of the ice. He sort of caught it like it was a lacrosse ball. And like, yeah, put it right at his feet on the stick. Stick handles in there, creates a scoring chance. I just kind of went, oh, that's right. This dude is just part of this army now of young, skilled players that they have as they've rebuilt on the fly. Emblematic, kind of to Grant's point, of where this organization is. Really, really hard to do.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're in a good spot. I mean, you look at the depth, right? It's not just, you know, the guys that they bought in the summer obviously were a huge boost, but you see it through the organization. This organization, I mean, they know how to draft. They know who to look for. They know which guys have skill. They know who's going to make it. And you can see it, you know, in Connor McMichael and, you know, Alexei Protas is another shining example. And you have so many prospects and so much depth. And, you know, it's a testament to the work that they put in as well, but just Washington's ability to draft, you know, just great people. And then, you know, that trickles down, you know, it's not just the Caps, you know, it's the Bears and Stingrays, and it just goes from there. So, you know, he's so skilled. And yeah, I mean, sometimes, especially when he goes through a little bit of a spell like he just did, you can kind of forget how skilled he is, but he's got hands, that kid.
Yes, he does. Sammy, thank you. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Thanks, Sammy.
Let's talk about the Wizards.
The Washington Wizards.
Not their finest showing last night. Gave up 42 in the first quarter to the Lakers, who are now 8 over .500. Won the game by 40 points just about last night. Greg Finberg joins us to break it down. Check out his work at Bullets Forever. Greg, first of all, what did you think of last night's game?
Last night's game was what I would categorize as the low point this far of this rebuild. I mean, 16 straight loss, which tied a franchise record. It marked, over the last calendar year, there's been three such 16-game losing streaks in the NBA. The Wizards own all of them. Just a couple of stats to rattle off. I mean, over the 16-game losing streak, they lost by an average of 18 points per game. 13 of the 16 losses have come by double figures. 9 of the 16 by 15-plus points. They're shooting 41% from the field, 31% from three, 15 turnovers a game. And obviously the loss put them at 6-41, which is nearly 5 games worse than the second-worst team, Utah. It was a third straight game that didn't have anybody reach 20 points. Jordan Poole's struggles continued. Him and Kyle Kuzma were a combined, I think, 9 of 27 from the field. Kuz only had 13 points. Just, there's nothing to hang your hat on from last night. It just kind of looked like the Lakers were playing around and toying around with the Wizards like it was like JV versus varsity. So pretty low point of the rebuild for Washington.
So, Greg, defensively, obviously, that's where it kind of stings. Individually, there's some good defenders. There's some guys that can be problems for opponents. Think Koulibaly one-on-one. I like Alex Saar when he's been able to kind of be in space, and you know his length bothers people, et cetera. But it just seems team defense-wise, they're not there. I get it when you've got Poole and Kuzma, two guys that are about as interested as I am Sunday morning in a YMCA of guarding people. You're going to be hurt there. But still, it just feels like they're not interested enough on the defensive end. Your thoughts there?
I think you're spot on there. I think effort has a big thing to do with it. They don't, like you said, they don't have many good individual defenders. And if you've seen Alex Saar miss the second half of the game against Dallas, and he's missed the last two games, you've seen that with the lack of rim protection. I mean, you know, for all of the effort that Jonas Valanciunas puts in, he's not a good defender. He's really slow laterally as well. And so when you get switched on to players, you can't really do much with JV as your so-called rim protector. And you saw that. I mean, 42 points for the Lakers in the first quarter. They put up 134 points. I mean, Dallas put up 130. You know, the Raptors scored 106, which is actually a win for the Wizards. But then you look at the fact that they only scored 82. And so I think a lack of good individual defenders has contributed to that. But it's also a lack of buy-in, a lack of effort. When you guys have when you lost 16 in a row, there's really no one really expects to win. It's hard in the NBA when you don't have effort on defense to really defend. And the Wizards, for the most part, haven't had that effort at all this year.
The Wizards are six games up on the rest of the Eastern Conference and four games up on every team in basketball in the capture the flag opportunity that they have to try to finish with the worst record. Obviously, then they could potentially get screwed in a lottery, but we're hoping that that doesn't happen. Greg, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Greg.
6-41. That's 6-41 for the Wizards. Let's talk about the Commanders. Our buddy Earl Forsey. Earl, why don't we just start with your biggest wants in terms of personnel going into the offseason after the very unlikely magical run to the NFC Championship game?
I think we found out that the line play on both sides is the key. So you need to get you need to be better on the offensive line. They did it kind of with smoke and mirrors at times this year. Do we really know that the rookie Brandon Coleman is the answer at left tackle? I'm not sure that's the case. I know I've looked at – how are you looking at the mock drafts, guys? There was a one of the Ohio State left tackle was kind of projected to them, which would be a great pick late in the first round. But that would then you move Coleman to the right side possibly or move him inside the guard. I think both lines – and look, there's a reason why you don't stop the run. It's a pretty simple one. Your defensive line play, right? And that was, no matter who was in or out of the lineup, how many times John Allen played or how many times he and Payne were actually on the field together, they couldn't stop the run. They still haven't stopped the run. So you need to shore up things there as well and not spend $42.3 million on two guys who combined can't stop the run. I mean, it's pretty simple, right? We'd love to see a receiver, some of the big play guys. I think we've seen already the year one with the patience of the front office, specifically Adam Peters. He's not going to go and spend $30 million a year on T. Higgins. I don't think we're going to see that this offseason. He said it himself. Listen to what the man said. Like McCartney, listen to what the man said. He said during that presser and everything last year, I'm going to build through the draft, right? Wasn't that his comment? So you can fill a lot of holes, but I think we found out 55-23, you've got a lot of holes to fill on this team. Let me bring something up, too, that I brought up in the post game when we did it after the NFC Championship game. Those games, NFC title games, AFC – what home field is such a huge thing in those games, right? At times where teams in AFC need to go to Buffalo. Now, it's almost impossible to beat Mahomes, even more impossible to do it in Kansas City. So – it was a great year for the Commanders, and it was a phenomenal – I mean, who expected 12-win season? But do you know that was the fourth-best record in the NFC? They – and I brought this up. You've got a Philadelphia problem in the division because to get home games, you're going to have to win a division to get some home games. You finish two games behind Philadelphia. You're going to have to figure out how to make up three games on them next year. And you were also three behind Detroit. Now, I know you went to Detroit and won, but to get overall home field advantage, you were three behind that team. And another team, Minnesota, who was a wild card, you were two behind them. So there's so much this offseason that needs to be cleared up. And, you know, second year, a different team next year, Jaden Daniels' second year, you're going to have a winning team's schedule now to play against. There's a lot on the plate this offseason, and it's more about just uniforms and mat and shiny helmets and logos.
Earl, for me, the only thing I'm worried about is kind of what you sort of referenced here. And obviously, Adam Peters and his ilk have earned the benefit of the doubt from a lot of us. I was dead wrong about a million different things, but there's a little bit of like, you know, like if you watch a basketball game, someone takes a bad shot and hits it. Now they've got the confidence that they're going to take, and they'll end up taking a bunch more bad shots. Yeah. The equivalent here would be, we don't really have to spend on that. We'll figure it out. And I don't want them to rely on that. I want them to be aggressive, but kind of meet that, you know, the temperate, smart right approach. I think there's a happy medium there. Are you worried that they'll be, I don't want to say too passive this offseason, but maybe too passive this offseason?
Well, I don't think they're going to be that passive, Danny. I don't think that's going to be a problem because they know this window is open now. And I just talked about it, how much – you know, you finished as the second number two team in the NFC. there's a big gap to be number one. And it's not just the final score there. And I know you had some great wins and did a lot in the playoffs and to be happy about and to put yourself in the conversation. But you have so much work to do. We saw there's a pretty big gap between Philadelphia, which is, what, 3 years ahead of where Washington is because of where they started building. Thank you, Ron. And, you know, where you need to be. There's a huge gap still. That's going to take probably, even with all this money and all this wiggle room that they have, it's more than a one-year thing because we can sit here, you can do a show day after day after day and talk about they need this, they need that, they need to get better here. For a team that was a 12-win team, and I don't mean to downplay that, and in many ways they are as good as most of the teams in the NFC. And by the way, if you do close that gap against Philly and get it done in the NFC, guess who else is waiting for you? The GOAT and Mahomes in Kansas City. So it's not just a few steps they need to make. It's and I don't think, Danny, to your point, that they can be, that they're going to be frugal, and I don't think that's what this group is about. You know, Magic Johnson has the ear of a lot of people around there. I don't know if you saw him on Twitter, social media after the game. He was kind of like me. He wasn't very happy because he's not used to losing. The guy never loses in life, in anything he does.
Anywhere.
Right? Finishing second is not acceptable to a guy like that. That's a failure. And to, you know, and it's wrong to wrap up the season because it wasn't a failure. But you've got a guy like that that is an ownership that feels that way. And you've got the Bob Myers of the world. God, is he everywhere. For a guy who was, it was funny, he was on the sidelines, and this was, well, he's going to help put this whole thing together. He is not going away. Bob Myers is a big part of this, obviously, with Adam Peters and everybody else. And this is your window right now. You are never going to have the rookie quarterback for three more years in that deal. We keep talking about it. In addition to the $90-plus million to spend and, you know, a draft coming up. They're never going to have this in any of these off seasons, I don't think, ever again. So you can't sit back and wait too long because who knows? And you've talked about it. You guys, I know yesterday, this week, it's, and I stressed this point, and it was tough in the post game because everybody's so happy about how far they've come, and they should be, where this organization was and where they are now. But if your goal is to win championships, There's a lot of work to do this offseason, and I brought it up a few times in sportscasts this week. The time is now. I mean, we're a month and a half away from free agency, so you're a month away from less than that from franchise tags, which means when you see who's going to stay where and how much it's going to cost, that's when you start making deals, and I don't care about the legal tampering period or whatever. The time is kind of now. They're at the all these Shrine games and the Senior Bowl and stuff like that. This is happening because of the run that they had here. This has already started for a lot of teams. So, you know, it's already a process that has started. It's going to be fascinating to see what they do. But I don't think the conservative approach, that's not the way to go. You don't want to spend $100 million on one guy. They don't need to because they got the one guy that's the most important, and that's the quarterback. So help him help you. You know, it's Jerry Maguire. Help me help you. Help Jaden help you, right?
That's what they need to do. Plan.
Give him some help.
Earl, we appreciate you, brother. Thank you as always, my guy.
Time flies when you're using up your entire segment, huh?
Time flies when you're kicking butt, as Earl Forsey says. That's one of my favorite lines, by the way, on Sundays. Time flies when you're kicking, you know what? Very good.
I digs it.
That's how he ends his shows, which is always a good time. That's Earl Forsey. That's our Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. I want to talk about whether or not Washington is going to lose any of their offensive assistants. Many of them are being interviewed. We'll get into that next on The Fan.
take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My co-pair folks will be proud of me. I ordered off the kids' menu. The old kids' cheeseburger.
Oh, that's a play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way to do a little bit less, yeah. Just my little wins where you can get them.
Yeah, I mean, they might have said maybe not the fries. But like you do, but again, it's a small victory.
Kids' menu?
Yeah, yeah.
The small portions, right?
Right.
Not going to eat all the fries. That's a little mini win.
I think it's good.
Do what you can do.
That's pretty good.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. We're live in Leesburg, out and about today. We are at the Green Tree Tavern. We're getting ready for our big show over at Tally Ho Theater tonight. It's sold out, though. So if you want to come hang with us, you got to do it right here at Green Tree Tavern.
That's right.
We'll be here until 6:30. I thought you were going to say something. You just started to drink.
No, I was it. I was echoing. I thought you were rolling there. That's my fault.
It's definitely just echo.
No,
that's the right to do it.
No, we've been working together for long enough. I should have known there was a bigger opening there. I mean, maybe in year 15, 16, I'll figure out when it's my turn.
You know what happened to me last night, and I didn't know what to do, so I want to ask you about
this.
So I told you that I went and saw a film.
Yeah.
I got out of Monumental later than I kind of thought I was going to be. Mm-hmm. Everyone at my house is asleep. My wife said she was already going to bed, whatever. She gives me my marching orders on what to do in the kitchen, what I need to clean,
yep.
Whatever. So, all right.
Clean this with this.
I'll get it done when I get home.
Yep.
I'm driving home. I realize that one of the movies I've been wanting to see for a while is available to me at a time right about when I'll be passing the theater. I said, I'll go see Den of Thieves 2.
There you go.
While I'm at the movie theater, I'm watching the movie, and at one point, something on the floor, like, catches my eye. And I'm thinking, like, that had to be a mouse. Like, but that would be really weird. Probably not, right? So I don't think about it again. 10 minutes later, I see a mouse run across the floor, like 10 feet and to the right of where I'm sitting. Kind of like I'm on the – I always sit on the aisle. So this is like on the platform, like the raised steps to walk up, you know what I'm saying? And it like runs across and darts under the row in front of me. And in my mind I'm going, do I tell someone about this? Do I say there's a mouse in your movie theater? Because here's the deal. What are they really going to do at a movie theater? They're not – so the guy comes in. He's like flashing the light, looking at the temperature and pushing the door. And I kind of waved at him. He didn't really see me. But afterwards, I thought, do I leave here or do I go tell someone there's a mouse in Theater 3? And I came to the realization the person I tell is probably not going to care. I would imagine at like late night 17-year-old or whatever they are, like – that's just making
bad. Okay, sir, I'll fill out a report.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, it's not like it's my living room where I'm putting up traps and I'm doing whatever I got to do to get the mouse out. It's a mouse in a giant building that's connected to a mall. Like, what are they really going to do? So should I have said something? I ultimately didn't say anything. I just thought it was really weird and unsettling and off-putting. And
yeah, it's annoying. I'm with you.
I didn't want to see it, and it made me feel weirder and worse about kind of just where I was sitting.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, what am I supposed to do about that?
Right. Not to you to do something about it. I would say this. The way I would have done it is if it was convenient to me, like on the way out, I saw a person and had a moment, I could have said something.
I'm had to go out of my way.
Yeah, I'm not
going to
seek
employee.
Anyone out. Yeah, I'm not seeking anyone out.
I didn't cross an employee on my way out
because right.
It was kind of late at night.
Yeah.
I would have had to, you would not have like gone up to the counter and said, hey, I just wanted you to know there's a mouse in theater 3.
Correct. I wouldn't have, like, sought a person out at the end of their shift trying to clean up, trying to get home or whatever. If it was easy, I would have said, hey, by the way, like, I know you didn't do it. You didn't make this problem up or whatever, but maybe someone should know. That's the thing.
Because at least you could try to make an attempt then.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we got mice? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what companies do. I don't know how they deal with that. It's you know, again, there was a not a topper thing. It's just an informational thing. There's one theater that I won't go to anymore. Because it wasn't like a mouse. It was like the whole family of the Ratatouilles. Like, I was like, okay, well, this is their theater. It's not mine anymore. I'm not going there.
Right.
So, you know, me telling anybody, that's like, they probably know about that. That group, as soon as the show starts, it's like, okay, guys, gather around.
You Let's know what I'm talking
it.
About,
I know exactly what you mean.
Where there's
yes,
like
unsettling.
A movement on the ground that yes. catches your peripheral. You're like, that feels like mouse territory.
Yeah. As now having lived.
And then I actually saw it,
right.
like with its tail and everything, go under.
Well, because now
the chair.
It's in your mind and now you're more, you know, looking
yeah.
for it. So once, you know, having lived in enough cities, like inside cities for long enough, now any movement anywhere at all times to me is that. I default to that even when it's not, even when it's nothing, even when it's literally like a shadow or whatever. Like,
right.
That's my first thought is that's what that is.
Did
so,
you
yes,
tell
I get
anyone?
It. Mm-hmm.
I'm part of the problem, I suppose.
I don't know.
I mean, it's not like I'm not going to go back. Now, Theater 3 is not my favorite theater at this point.
Right. Theater 3 is lower than the other theaters.
I would rather it be Theater 7 or 8 or 10 or 1
yeah.
or 2 or 6 or 5 or 4 or something. But I'll take Theater 3, I guess, in a pinch. But the fact is there's probably mice everywhere. They live around
oh,
us.
Oh, yeah. They're doing
us.
Just fine.
To the Commander's offensive staff. The list is growing of the guys getting interviews for promotions. Now, it could be that none of these guys actually get the gigs and none of them leave. But if you're keeping score at home, passing game coordinator Brian Johnson is getting an interview for an OC job. Tavita Pritchard, who's the quarterback's coach here, who was actually the QB's coach for Sam Howell with Ron Rivera last year, was one of the few guys on the entire staff that was kept over in his same role. He is getting an interview for an offensive coordinator job as well. I believe he is interviewing with the Jaguars and Liam Cohen. And then David Blau, who was an assistant quarterback's coach, entry level as it gets, just kind of an entry level position as a player 6 minutes ago, is getting interviews for both quarterbacks coach and passing game coordinator. So the hierarchy, and I think most people know this, Danny, on offense is head coach, then OC play caller, then pass game coordinator, and then probably below that would be quarterbacks coach is like mm-hmm. the highest ranking future coordinator in your building. I just want to keep reiterating that this idea that they're so layered with all this depth on their offensive staff is a fallacy. That isn't a real thing. Because when your OC gets plucked to be a head coach, he brings guys with him. See the Detroit Lions right now. How well layered were they? They had years to prepare for Ben Johnson leaving. It's been a mass exodus of offensive coaches from that staff, including Antoine Randall-El, who was like next in line, so to speak. Same thing happened on defense when they lost Aaron Glenn, for that matter. But if you're a good young offensive coach in this league, it is really, really hard for your organization to keep you in their building until you have the highest job possible. It just is. And so there's a possibility that Brian Johnson, Tavita Pritchard, and David Blau are all gone. Now, it's more likely that none of them are or one of them is, but there's a possibility sure. that all three get jobs, they all leave, Cliff's completely rebuilding his staff, and then that when he leaves next year, this depth chart that I keep hearing so much about is completely eviscerated. So the Dan Quinn hire went very well. He did a great job building a staff. It worked. He built a culture. He's a leader of men. It looks like they've got a good head coach. Stop trying to pretend and lie to me about this whole, don't worry about the offensive part. You know, they've got this depth chart. That is a fallacy. It's not a real thing. Tag, you're it.
Okay, so I think you are a little extreme on this, but I think your point's right. The larger point, the big picture point, the 30,000-foot view, you are correct. It's a thing that people don't count on when you talk about the depth chart, because there is a good depth chart right now. But your point, which is 100% right, is that won't be the depth chart if and when this, you know, let's say Brian Johnson.
If and when they need a new OC.
Yeah, well, yeah, the second in command leaves. Well, the guy that was the assistant quarterbacks coach becomes the quarterbacks coach somewhere else. The guy that was the quarterbacks coach becomes the pass game coordinator. The pass game coordinator becomes the OC, and so on and so forth. That point is correct. The only pushback I would offer is that they did it once by having a diverse coaching staff. I don't just mean in terms of race specifically, but of a guy that, like, you know, the 29-year-old that was playing last week, to the 50-year-old that's been everywhere, to the guy that's come from this coaching tree, to this set of perspectives, to an Anthony Lynn who has been a head coach before as a run game guy to sort of help with this sort of ideas. A bunch of different ideas have been welcome. I trust this group now, showing what they've shown this year, Jaden Daniels, Adam Peters, and Dan Quinn to a degree, to be able to find the next David Blau. Now, David Blau doesn't grow on trees. That's a pretty unique animal right there, but you see the point I'm trying to make, that I think they'll be able to restock the cupboard to a degree, but it's not this bulletproof thing that I think some folks think it is. And I would, I don't want to speak for you, but it sounds to me like whom you're arguing against is that. The people that are going, it's fine. Depth on the coaching staff, and you're going, it's not that easy. And I think that's a very fair point.
You're probably not going to lose all three, but you could. You're probably not going to lose more than one. Right?
Let me say this. If it goes well, you're losing people. It's that simple.
This is my point. Yeah. David Blau's been an offensive assistant for 5 minutes, and he's already got 4 interviews with other teams.
Yep.
The idea that he'll be around after this year or next year is unlikely. Yeah. Like, at a betting board, it's a plus number that David Blau is the next OC for Kingsbury, right? Doesn't mean it can't happen. All I'm saying is this idea that this logic of it's not a massive drawback to hiring defensive-minded, every time a defensive-minded head coach loses a coordinator, it's a hole in the theory. The proof is in the pudding. Look at the damn Lions. They have known. They actually had the benefit, by the way, of 2 extra years of Ben Johnson, who did a fairly unprecedented thing. When he stayed with everybody wanting him and had the possibility to leave for multiple years, which does not happen. They had extra years to prepare and had to go get maybe the guy they hired is going to end up being a really good coach. But he's not one of these names I hear when I talk to people around the league who's a savant. He's not one of the guys who's interviewing every year for 5 OC jobs. They got a fairly random, nondescript coordinator to fill in for Ben Johnson because Johnson and all of his lieutenants left. So you have to bake in the guys that leave with the person who's the OC that leaves and then the other guys who might get jobs and graduate otherwise. again, I'm hoping none of them leave. That would be great. But the top three guys under Kingsbury this week are all fielding multiple calls from teams about better jobs. That's just the information.
Yeah. And so, yeah, react accordingly. I think it's all fair. I think it takes a – the thing I'm giving the benefit of the doubt on, though, and this doesn't ameliorate every concern that you might have, right? It doesn't solve it just because you want it solved. This group is thoughtful. Peters, Dan Quinn, and everybody in between, they've thought of that. This is my view now. Whereas Vinny Bumbats wouldn't have thought of that. I don't think Bruce Allen thought of that, or any of these other, you know, underqualified nincompoops that have been in charge of this thing as predecessors. I think this group understands the risk, knew that this would be a potential issue, and will act accordingly. Right? So I don't think they'll be caught in the lurch with, oh my God, what happens if all three of these guys leave for the sake of argument? All three of these guys get promotions elsewhere, increased responsibility. It doesn't mean that it's good. It doesn't mean that it automatically is fixed.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a thoughtful approach to that. And I give them the benefit of the doubt there that, the A, they've thought of it. B, they'll have as best a response as can be mustered. It's still a challenge that's baked in, which
sure.
I think is such a fair point.
They'll have a good response. That's not really my point.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, and this is not a sky is falling situation for this reason. Number one, again, they're not all leaving. They're just interviewing. But number two, and this is to me more important, if the quarterback is as good as it seems like he is, then a lot of normal things don't matter. Like, it is true that it's really bad to lose coaches, but also, if you have Allen or Burrow, then your OC matters a little bit less. If you have Mahomes as an example, although part of the Mahomes excellence in creation is that his coach is Andy Reid, who's one of the great play callers and designers in the league. But Allen's got a defensive-minded head coach as an example. Burrow's had the benefit of having one guy offensive-minded calling his plays the whole time. But Allen's a great example. He's so good. Lamar is a great example with Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
It could be
so many OCs, yeah.
Greg Roman, or it could be
Munkin or
Todd Munkin, whoever you want to bring in, he's going to make it okay. And there is a possibility that Jaden Daniels is that unique and that special that nothing matters. Grant and Danny on the Fan, you want to chime in on that, you can. 800-636-1067 is the number, 800-636-1067. The NFL's taking a victory lap about some of its rule changes working. We'll explain next on the Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny. We're at Green Tree Tavern in Leesburg. We're going to be here really all night because we're going to be over at Tally Ho Theater. When we're done, we're going to walk on over for our big event on stage starting around 7 o'clock. I think the doors open. So you're coming out here, 6:30 start time at the Green Tree Tavern pregame. That's where we're at now leading up to that. And then we are leaving here a little bit before 7 to go over to the Tally Ho Theater. We're just talking about Commander's assistants possibly walking out the door. They're getting interviews around the league. This is what happens when you're really good.
Yeah.
When your offense is pretty elite, you end up taking interviews and getting promotion. So it's a very good sign for the organization. Let's go to the phones, and PJ, who's in Reston, wants to chime in on what we were talking about. What's up, PJ?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. So I just wanted to kind of put a kind of an uplifting positive spin. I 100% agree with you, like, about what you were saying that, hey, you know, it's not just Kingsbury that could leave after next year. Thank God we got him for another year. But maybe Kavika and, you know, some of the other guys get nabbed up, too. They're already interviewing. The saving grace to me is that, you know, let's say all three of those guys under Cliff get taken up, right? Now it's Cliff and three new people for next year. That gives them kind of like a whole year to try to hopefully get those guys up to speed. And then Coach Quinn and Adam Peters could even have like a plan C that we hopefully don't have to go to, thinking, okay, if worse comes to worse, and now these three new guys get scooped up, let's behind the scenes just at least have in mind two or three other guys that we're going to have ready, ready to go to poach them from other teams or whatever. I know it's a little easier said than done, but that's just a positive spin I wanted to put on it. But happy fight, everybody. Drive safe in this rain, everybody.
Yeah, appreciate you, dude. I mean, again, it's all, I think, I don't want to speak for Grant. To me, the only thing that I say is, when we were talking about who the head coach was going to be at that point, this is a reasonable path. Like, the guy I loved was Mike McDonald, who's in Seattle, went 10-7 his first year, right? I was a huge fan of Mike McDonald, but I'm also acknowledging, if Mike McDonald's the hire, you now have this road with some hurdles on it, and you're opting to take that. It could work. It could work really, really well. This year worked incredibly well. It's not to say that it's impossible. It's just an acknowledgement, hey, there are a few twists and turns up ahead you're going to have to be aware of. I think that's the only point that I would make here. Is there's no guarantee either way, of course. If you hire an offensive mind, it could be Adam Gase. It could be Liam Cohen muttering Duvall. Or it could be a million things in between where guys don't succeed, don't fail, Nathaniel Hackett or whatever. There's no guarantee to any of it. But to me, the only acknowledgement that I would make is, or on both sides of it, the only things that I would ask folks to remember is, if you do go the way that Washington did, it can absolutely work. Just know that this is a baked-in challenge. Doesn't mean one thing one way or the other. And this group, to me, has demonstrated enough bona fides to be able to say, now people want to come here, be they free agents, be they coaches, they want to be part of this thing. And I think they have a better chance at restocking than, say, making up a team. If New Orleans hired a defensive coach, and he had some OCs, and nobody wants anybody there. The fact that your guys are in demand also means that this place is in demand because guys will see.
Yeah,
that.
People are going to want to play here, coach here.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. That, again, that's a different conversation than it's okay if Cliff Kingsbury walks because they've got a deep roster. If you're replacing three guys this offseason with three new guys next off, into next year, well, you're a year behind in the offense. The next assistant quarterbacks coach is not going to be David Blau. You know, your next pass game coordinator isn't the guy that just helped build the relationship with Jaden to have this season. So I'm not suggesting they're going to end up with three guys from UTEP who are unqualified on the staff. What I am suggesting is that the argument constantly is it's okay, just have a bunch of assistants and basically groom and develop them. That isn't how it actually works. Hopefully one of those guys survives the picking, one of the turtles gets to the water, so to speak, where all the eggs get eaten along the way. But David Blau's going to be in Houston, and Brian Johnson's going to be in Jacksonville, and Tavita Pritchard's going to be here potentially. And my point is, maybe it's Tavita Pritchard who you talk out of that deal, you give him a promotion, and he's your future OC. But it's not like five guys are still going to be here and Kingsbury's going to be gone, which is the way that it's sold. That's all I'm saying. But yes, if you have Daniels, ideally, you're going to have a shot. And if he plays at the level he did this year, it'll matter a lot less. But that is the update that both Brian Johnson and Tavita Pritchard have joined David Blau in taking interviews outside of the building. And Dan Quinn said this. They've already lost one of their coaches on defense, actually, the first coach from the staff was their assistant linebackers who took a linebacker's job elsewhere, I believe with the Jets. But Quinn said, we're going to lose coaches. Like, that's part of it, man. Happens every year with the good teams. The Green Bays, the New Englands, when they were a juggernaut. More recently, you know, the Tampa Bays, teams like that. You're going to lose coaches. You just got to bake that into, you know, what gets harder to stay on top. Grant and Danny on the Fan out in Leesburg today, where we are hanging out at the Green Tree Tavern. I want to talk about the victory lap the league is taking on concussions being down and have a little conversation about both how good that is and also what the goal should be moving forward in that regard for the NFL. You're listening to The Fan.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.